So, technically, this is part two.
Yes.
To Shane Malice on the shoot with Davey Hetfield.
Yeah.
So, we got cut off a little early. Davey, do you remember where we left off?
We were talking about Tito Santana.
Tito Santana. Yes. And he put you over.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely
You said
did.
What, 8 months in, he put you over?
Yeah. 8 months in, and he was like, "You're doing good, kid." And he's like, "You just need to keep it up." And I was like, that to me, that impressed on me huge. I thought it was a big deal. And my trainer thought it was a big deal, too. And you had asked about other... you had asked about other matches that have shaped my, like, the 5 years that I've been doing this, like, other big things. So another one, and it seems, like, super minor, because at that time I was so, like, underdeveloped in my character and the things that I was doing that... It kind of was, like, super simple, but it kind of, like, left a big impression, too, was one of the shows at LCW, it was slated Sean Carr versus Eddie Smooth. Now, I know there are a couple people that, like, will pop a huge hard on and see that match happen.
For sure.
And
both are great talents.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Smooth is a fantastic individual. I love talking to him. He's such a great guy.
Nicest guy. Yeah. Like, even wrestling aside... The most nice guy on the planet.
Oh, yeah. He is a super nice guy. And then Sean Carr is also, like, a super nice dude.
Yeah.
He's just really cool. Unfortunately, Eddie Smooth, he's taking time off for school. So he could show up to that show. So Jason comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, you're going to be working Sean Carr tonight." And I was like...
Winning?
All right. So, like, you're going to have me work, like, one of your top dudes right now? I was like,
Sean,
sure.
Let's be honest. Sean Carr is money right now.
When you
wrestle Sean Carr, you're wrestling the Shawn Michaels of the fucking indies. Like, this kid is everywhere.
Yeah. I just saw him. He was part of, not this past year, but the year before's top prospect tournament for Ring of Honor.
That's true.
So, I mean, like, dude's everywhere. He's great. So, I mean, good props to him. But yeah, so for me, I was just like, man, you're really gonna like throw me up against him. I was like, cool. I'll work him. Like, I want to learn. Like, that's all I've ever strived to do. So, I talked to him. We talk over like a super like simple just match because, like I said, I was still super underdeveloped. I didn't really have much of a move set. I just had my gimmick that I was relying on. So, we're sitting there and we're working this match, and I mean, the crowd is just super hot. It's just like. And that's why I really wish you would have been able to go there. The crowd was always wild. They were just super about everything. So, I mean, this match, we were doing nothing but just basic stuff. But, like, the crowd is just super with it.
Just popping the whole time.
Yeah, and just, like, after all that was said and done, I was just like, man. And I look back on that, and I thought that match was amazing. I sent it to everybody, and they're just critiquing. They're like, the only thing I think I could ever say is you almost oversold. And I was like... That's not, to me, that's not always, like, a bad thing.
Yeah, for sure. So fuck yeah. If that's the credit, I'll take it.
Yeah, I was like, if that's the critique, then fine, yeah. And so, like, after a while, I look back on that now, and I go, like, and to any promoter for any weird reason who would ever listen to this or whatever, even Sean Carr ever listens to this, for some weird reason, if he would ever just be like, yeah, sure.
I'll send it to him right after we're done. Fuck it.
Like, you know, like, I'll tell him right now, if we can find a place that'll book me and him again, now that I've actually grown, I'd really like to see what we could knock out now.
For sure.
Because
let's go back to that, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that was Sean Carr's talent that got you through that? Or do you think you guys just had chemistry and it clicked?
I think it was...
Because, I mean, like, I don't mean to take anything away from you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I don't know how long into your career that was that you guys had that match.
Uh-huh.
But I know Sean Carr is a fantastic worker.
Yeah.
And I know you are as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long this is into your career. Was it him carrying you? Or was it... his experience and your technique colliding together to make something magic?
I think it was a little of both. I mean, he can, you know, if he ever listens to us, he can feel free to explain what his opinion on it or his take on it. But to me, I think it was a little mix of both. I think it was more on him, but mm-hmm. I think I did definitely have an influence on it.
Like, and you did, just, you weren't the slack, you just...
No, it just... I think just the way we ended up working with each other, just the way things were, it just clicked the right way. And, you know, there's always those guys where you have that, moment where it just clicks. And he, for me, at that point in time, he was that guy that I had kind of had that, like, it just worked.
Absolutely.
And it's super simple and it's super new and green that I was to it. I mean, I might have been, like, a little over a year in when I wrestled him. So, I mean, there's so much growing I've done since then.
For sure.
So, now that I actually know a bit more of what I'm doing and I have this time under my belt, I kind of want to see, like, how much more we can bring to the table now. Together as something like
honestly,
that.
You versus Sean Carr, I'd buy a ticket any day. I want to see the knee versus super kick. Let's be honest.
Like, what happens, like, the knee versus the super kick? And so that's, to me, that was another big thing, because I got to learn so much about, like, what the top guys in the Indies are doing and how they work and what, like, I got to see just, I got to be on the inside of the inner workings. And it's kind of honestly how I felt the same way when I worked you, was I was like, because you'll, I mean, you'll probably yell at me all the time for it, and I'll probably still do it. But I never really consider myself like the top. Like, I never looked at myself as top tier. I'm just working. Like,
I yell at you all fucking day for saying some stupid shit like that.
Like, I'm just working, man. I'm just trying to get there. So for me, it's like anytime I get like this glimpse into like,
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just a. I'm here.
that's just how I was. I'm like, I'm just here, and like maybe if I can get good enough, maybe I'll be graced as a guy who's that upper tier. But for me, it's like when I worked you and when I worked Sean, I was like, I got to like look in on the, like, these guys that are considered, you know, we, like, I think the general consensus is you guys are top talent for independent wrestling. Like, you guys are just the guys who are known for, like, just your work rate, and you're just phenomenal guys, characters, like, all around, you guys are just good. So for me, when I get those matches, it's just like me peering into like the, oh, this is what this is like, and, you know, it just motivates me even more to push to get to that point, because then, like, I could be doing those all the time.
For sure.
And it'll just be so much more of a learning experience. So for me,
the fact that you even look at me as a top tier guy, I'll fucking take that rub any day.
Yeah.
But dude, we had a lot of fun during that match. Like, I go back constantly and watch that match, and there was some little moments in there that really, like, I don't know. I really had a blast doing the match, and it looks just, when you know somebody, you just go a little extra hard. Yeah. It looks like there were some moments where we went extra hard, but I don't remember leaving feeling any kind of soreness. Like, I felt like you were a complete professional in the way you conduct yourself in the ring. We had a good time. We fucking tore the house down. I couldn't ask for anything different.
I appreciate it. I mean, of course, I know, like, after we did our match, I was sitting there talking to you and about it and how I felt about myself during it, and you're just like, if you don't shut up, I might slap you. And I'm just like, this is me being super critical about myself, and you're like, I get that, but stop, it was good. Like, so, you know, for me, like, those matches, like, this, like, that Sean Carr match shaped me, because I got to peer in, kind of like I did with you. Like, I got to peer in and see, like, this is the inner workings of that next level. Like, I got to, instead of breaking the glass, I kind of, like, lifted the lid up for a minute and kind of got to peer in and see, like, oh, this is me.
And oh, then, man, there's so much more room in here.
Like, wow, there's a lot more room here. And then you slowly get stuck back down, and, like, you gotta
get back in your hole.
Yeah, you're like, you know, start getting better, kid.
And now you gotta wrestle Richie Nightmare.
Yeah, it's like, now, like, you know, I gotta, like, you know, it's like, work harder, kid, and you'll get to, you know, stay up here. So, you know, like, after that, it was just like a, you know, it just drove me. It drove me even further to, like, sure, you know, like, I've got to improve my craft. I've got to hone it. I've got to do what I can. And I think, if I may direct into another, like, segue, another portion that I want to get into is,
for sure,
the kinds of wrestling that exist and how that impresses upon a certain audience.
Sold. Let's talk about it.
So my big thing when I started trying to drive myself to become better was I wanted to become an all-package wrestler. I wanted to be able to chain, like, the grapplers from the UK, which, by the way, I'm a super huge mark on. Like,
let's throw this out there. So, we, like, these terms are pretty common known. Like, when you say an all-package wrestler, I know what you mean by that.
Uh-huh.
But, all right, so let's break this down. For someone who's not in the business, you got your Americana style, which is, yes, your John Cena's, your Hogan's, you know, yeah, that's the traditional wrestling in America. Then you have your Lucha Libre.
Yes.
You got your Rey Mysterio's, your Phoenix, your Pentagon, which a lot of people think is all flips. But, honestly, I dove pretty deep into some Lucha Libre myself, mm-hmm, and I love the culture of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, if you don't know what it is, I'm not going to jump too much into it right now, because I don't want to take away from what we're talking about. But there's strong style, which, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura brought to a more mainstream,
yeah,
you know, label within WWE. But it's that hard-hitting, more athletic style, sports kind of combat.
Like the fighting spirit.
Yes.
Is like the big thing there.
Which, even on top of strong style, there's also that Japanese style, which is very similar, but I don't really know, like strong style, you have the kicks, the faces, you have just so much more of an aggressive style, and then you have Japanese wrestling, which is more of that sports oriented wrestling. I mean, there's so many different styles, but you want to be that all package wrestler.
Yeah.
Is all of the above included in what I just mentioned?
Absolutely. And then the other big one that I had actually just talked about was that grappling, like that UK catch-as-catch thing.
Which
like,
just now, over the last year, really broke out in the mainstream. A lot of people don't know, like, UK's wrestling scene is so technical.
Oh, yeah. And it's beautiful.
Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho consistently talk about their tours through UK where they've learned so much on grappling.
Right.
And it's such a different – like, if you was to talk to someone who's never watched UK wrestling – how would you explain that grappling style?
It is the human game of chess. And I know that's like a super, like, not cliche, but it's a really, like, it's a the first thing that everybody will tell you that is about it. But it really is. It's like, it's manipulating your opponent the way that you see fit in order to win. So it's more of like a very intelligent, like...
It does have an intellectual, like, complexity to it. And it's beautiful to watch. Yeah. It's an art form of its own.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's not for every, like, so obviously us being on the indie scene, we work for, you know, how many fucking companies up and down, the East Coast, West Coast, whatever. But you see guys come and go, and you're like, oh my God, you are the absolute drizzling shits. Like, you should not even be in a ring. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that UK grappling style, it's meant for the smart-minded who love the business.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go too much into that because I know I'm taking away from like where we were going about the all package and everything.
I got it.
But I want to throw that out there. It is really like it's a beautiful artistic technique that I feel like more people should appreciate because it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of like my like that the art in me kind of like kind of like it floats to that. Like it just
deep, dude. We just so went like, all the way back full transition into so the
like
art.
I think that's where like the art thing kind of transitions to is just that the beautiful and like Lucha kind of has that too where it's almost like a beautiful like it's a dance but it's a smart and high intensity.
One of the things I hate hearing about Lucha is I hate people saying like the Mexican Lucha Libre style is just a bunch of spotty flips and dives.
It isn't at all. It isn't.
It isn't. I mean if you really break down the culture, like, Lucha Libre is so much more complex than that. And, I mean, I know that, like, looking at it, like, you know, up front, it seems like that. Because you – I mean, the way I can word this without trying to – like, I don't want to come across as downplaying Mexican style or Mexican wrestlers or even, you know, anything in general that's Lucha Libre. It's very looked down on nowadays because everyone wants to be that pro-Americana where it's anti-flips, just, you know, fast-paced style.
Like a hipster of wrestling. Where it's kind of like anti
like you're too cool to what? Yeah. Well, like the history behind Lucha Libre, not only with the masks and the culture and everything, you know, the economy, it has been shaped to something so much more now through things like Lucha Underground, bringing it more mainstream, CMLL, AAA. Mm. I mean, there's guys like Pentagon Jr. who I'm not sure if this is confirmed, but I'm pretty sure I just read that Pentagon Jr. is signed to WWE. I don't know if you saw that.
I keep hearing rumors about it. I haven't gone through my paces to make sure that that's true. But, I mean, if it is, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I can totally see it because the dude is fantastic. To me, he represents exactly Lucha Libre.
Yes.
He has the heritage with the mask.
Yes.
He has the culture of the style of the fast-paced, striking, yet, you know, if he wants to go airborne, he can do it. But at the same time, like, Lucha Libre style is just, in my opinion, embodied in Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
And once again, not to keep diving too much into each style, but... but back to that all package thing, like it's just I can see in the technique of the style of what you do. I can see the little Lucha Libre throwbacks. I can see the Americana. I think is the thing that stands out the most in you. And I mean that's not a bad thing. That's not a good thing. It's just that's what
it's
you're.
Who we are.
Yeah, and that's our culture. And to quote a good friend of ours. You can't help it. It's in your nature.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Little LGR throw there.
Oh, yeah, LGR. And by the way, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But to further dive into like what I...
Creatures of Habit, man.
Or what I...
I don't know what that means.
Shine down reference.
Ah.
So for me, it's to further explain how I feel about the different styles of wrestling and why I want to be an all-package wrestler is wrestling for us is like a language. So for us, it's like each style of wrestling is just a different version, like a different language,
different dialect.
Like a different dialect. And now, like I said before, with like languages, that they have there are certain words that you can derive from other words in like certain languages. The same thing can be said for wrestling. There are certain things that you see from like Lucha Libre that you can be like, that's kind of a little strong.
The
style.
Origin
like,
came from yeah, Mexico. Like,
yeah.
But,
so like,
but there's a twist to it.
Yeah.
Now.
So you can see like the when they come hand in hand. I just want to learn all of it. Like I almost want to be like a professor of it. I mean, I'm no Matt Stryker, but I would love to be like a guy that, you know, I've learned all of it.
You know what I love about like the different styles is you have guys that are dead set on one style and that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have guys like you who they want to learn everything. But what's crazy is no matter which one of these styles that you want to get into, I'm a firm believer that nobody has ever mastered the style. Like there's people that you'll be like, oh my God, they're the best at, like hands down, they're the best wrestler in the world. But I've always heard Ric Flair himself has told me the day that you stop learning is the day you need to quit the business because you absolutely don't care to learn anymore.
Right.
And it's amazing to see how many people don't want to, like back on the Lucha Libre thing, there's so many guys that are so pro-Americana. They're like, forget Lucha Libre. I don't want to get into flips. I don't want to do it. And you, no matter what you tell them, they won't accept it or embrace it. Maybe it's for a better lack of words. Maybe it's just not in their skill set. Maybe they physically can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the full package of techniques and styles, I could totally see that in you, that you embrace a little embodiment of every style. The Japanese strong style, I think whenever we had our match, we went back and forth with some nasty strikes where I'm surprised I still have teeth after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your Lucha Libre, your quickness, your like... chain wrestling. I mean, we've done the arm drags back and forth a million times. Like, just little things that I can see. And like I said, the Americana with the gimmick and just it's our nature of where we live.
It's our core
for sure. And I can see it all in you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like I try, and whenever I get the opportunity to learn, I do. And I've done seminars where people teach me kind of like more of like that grappling, that catch a style, and I super take that opportunity to like absorb just everything. Even if I can just sit in on it and just listen to how things are done, that just boosts me. I know some people, they have to get in the ring in order to get that, and just for some reason with me, if I can just watch you and listen.
Listening is my big thing.
Yeah, like I can usually derive a good amount of that and pretty much get what I need to have a handle on, which, it's not me like tooting my own horn, but that's usually like how I can weasel my way into like learning certain things otherwise, it'd be really hard to. And that's just like a super big thing to me is just, being well-rounded. Like I want to be able to do everything. I know there are certain people, and this is another big debate thing that happens in wrestling, is the gimmicks versus the not gimmicks. Or what is too much and what is not enough. And for me, like there's been a lot of guys, and I mean I won't mention a certain wrestling snob that I know.
I almost feel like I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a certain personality who had trained a long time ago, and he goes around and he's a sportscaster of sorts.
So he's had training?
Yeah, so he said when he came to LCW's training center before and kind of like helped out with like doing interviews and stuff like that, and he did mention that he had training a while back. So
let's not give too many rubs here. I mean, let's focus on you a little bit.
So, like,
go ahead.
He's very anti what my core is. Like he hates gimmicks. Like he's never been about them. He hates everything that's too overly silly, and he's just like he wants wrestling to kind of be
all one dimensional.
He wants
that Japanese style the whole way.
And
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I completely get that, and I understand like that's right up his alley, and I understand that. But for me, it's I mentioned it before in the Broforce chat, and I'll reiterate it for anybody who wants to listen, is you should never discredit a style of wrestling because it's not up your alley, or try to devalue its entertainment value just because it's not up your alley, because wrestling is such a broad and it's a living thing. And we change it. It changes every day. Every day something gets, pushed in a little bit more of a direction or gets pulled back in a little bit more of a direction. There's a constant. It's a fluctuation.
Absolutely.
So for me, When I hear like somebody just is like, well, screw, like, you know, screw Lucha or screw gimmicks, gimmicks are dumb, or screw that Japanese strong style crap, I'm not into that or whatever. It just, to me, it's like, you're really going to limit yourself or try to downplay what that is just because you don't like it.
For sure.
It's almost like a racism towards wrestling.
It's funny you say that. When I was training, the guy who was training me always had this joke that he would say. He was very pro-Americana. He's still in the indie scene, and I don't want to get too into that right now as well. But he would always say, like, we're training in the ring, and this is, you know, we're past the whole, like, you know, we're learning stuff. It was more of, like, just cleaning up and learning new techniques. So as soon as he would be away, let's get in the fucking ring, let's learn something new. Like, I saw this on a video, I saw this on a match, you know? And we'd learn different like Lucha Libre style moves, and he would come in and be like, "I don't remember us getting a subscription to Lucha Weekly," and that was his comment on a weekly basis. So I don't remember, you know, getting the subscription to Lucha Weekly, or hey, you subscribe to Lucha, because I don't fucking watch that shit. And it used to drive me insane.
Yeah.
And looking back at it now, long story short, he's pretty much the indie version of, and I've heard this from multiple people, he's an indie version of Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
And we see how well that worked out on the mainstream for Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe if he had a little, I haven't watched any of the matches in a long time, and I'm not downplaying him. The man's fantastic. He's done a lot to help me along the way, and I'll never down talk it. But to be so broad-minded to just cutting it off, like, oh, I don't subscribe to Lucha Weekly. And I remember that was, like, that was my guilty pleasure. I needed it. Like, I was when no one else was fucking doing this awesome-ass arm drag, like, I need to know how this is done. Right. That looks fucking amazing. Like, when I would get those things, people were like, oh, my God, you're such a great wrestler. And I wasn't, but I was doing something that no one else was doing, so it set me apart.
Right.
And it kills me that there's people like that don't want to broaden their horizons. Like, why not learn something? Even if you never do it. For example, say you're going against a guy half your size. 10 years down the road, maybe you're not super Lucha Libre, but maybe the kid you're working with could use that style against you, because you already know how the move goes. You know how to take it. You know how to, like, you know, maybe educate him on it. And it's something a small guy versus a big guy could do, and it would work in that moment. Like, why not give that, you know, absolutely, a chance?
Yeah. And I think part of that is what I want to do is, I want to become multifaceted like that, because then I can work anybody and I can work their style, but I can still throw my style and the things that I like to do into it. So then it really becomes like more of a story of, you know, like if I ever came across a Lucha guy, I could work that Lucha guy versus like this like bruiser type, you know, striker, but it would flow because I know how things work and I know how the transitions work.
Let's try a little game here. Let me give you five names and honestly, just tell me yes or no answers. Do you think you could have a good match with them?
Mm-hmm.
One, Kenny Omega.
Absolutely.
Two, Pentagon Jr.
Sure.
Three, let me think of somebody good here. We'll say you and Rob versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah, we could.
So that's three and four. Five, Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I get it. These are a lot of people that's from, like, the All In that just happened.
Yeah.
New Japan, Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. But these are a group of guys who pretty much cover that spectrum. Like, I mean, you got the Young Bucks. They're strikers. They're Lucha Libre. They're super indie. You know what I mean? You have Kenny Omega, who is New Japan as fuck. Like, he embodies men. Like, he is the embodiment of what New Japan is.
Yeah.
Joey Ryan is the complete gimmick side of that. Pentagon Jr. is the other side. He's a complete Lucha Libre he has the gimmick, but he's like, I don't know, like I said earlier, he is Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
I could see you going against any of those guys and tearing the fucking house down. Where there's a lot of people that I feel like hadn't hit that stone, the milestone of, I could have a match with this guy or this guy. Like, I could see you tearing the house down with all of them in all different styles. What do you... My cats are like fucking dying in the background. What do you feel as far as like, I mean, who the fuck am I to say anything? But knowing that like somebody thinks that you have the capability of going against all of those styles and still holding it down, like, how does that make you feel?
I mean, like, I think it's like a huge, it's a huge, like, thing to say to me because, you know, like I said,
Me knowing you on a personal level, especially even in Broforce and all the time be bullshit, you're one of the guys that you cut yourself short all the time. You always want to be the low spectrum guy because you don't want to put yourself in, like, the tight, you know, competition spaces. You like to just be happy doing what you're doing. But I think you're a lot better than you give yourself credit for.
I mean, I appreciate that. I think it's just because I strive to make myself unlike guys who let it all go to their head. So I constantly am putting myself in check so that I can always remain who I am and never change myself just because, you know, I hear, like, people tell me that, like, you know, oh, you're great or whatever. I don't want it to go to my head, so I always keep myself in check. And I think that's part of what it is.
That's extremely respectable.
So, you know, for me, it's, like, it's kind of a reflex, and it's hard to get out of it. And, you know, it's hard to kind of change it to where it's, like, I know I'm this good, but let me keep it to myself. Like, for sure. You know, and it'll take a lot of time before that happens. But, you know, like, I super respect that. I respect that people, like, take the time to even... like, you look at what I do or, like, pay attention to, like, the little things or just anything like that.
I think that's one of the greatest things about what we do is you have somebody, like, for example, you have a mother, father, sibling, child, girlfriend, aunt, uncle, whatever it might be, family related. Even friends, even people you've known from high school that you don't talk to anymore. You have somebody that you're like, hey, here's this thing that I'm super passionate about. Ding, there goes another one using that word.
Yeah.
But you have this thing that you're super passionate about. Ding again. I put my life and soul into this. I'm a grown man, fake fighting in my underwear. Right. Please come pay money to watch me do it. Yeah. For a belt, which doesn't, my fucking underwear doesn't have belt loops, so.
Right, yeah.
Please come watch me do it.
Yeah.
So they already go into, I mean, let's be honest, if you don't understand how wrestling works now, you live under a fucking rock.
Right.
But you come to this wrestling show. They come to see you wrestle, and they're going to cheer for you regardless because they're your fucking friends, right. Family, whatever. But at the end of the day, you get back from the locker room, and they're like, the first words you hear is, oh my God, you were fucking amazing. Tell me that doesn't just put you in the mood knowing that, like, knowing that someone that loves you gives a shit and they see the passion. And, fuck, there goes that word again.
Right.
But they see that drive that you have, and they know that, like, you're so much more serious about this than I thought you were.
Yeah.
Now, when it's a complete stranger, when you work for a company that, you know, nobody on the roster even knows who the fuck you are, you walk in, you're just fucking guy A from down the street for all they know, and they're like, God damn, you fucking had a great match. Or a fan's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I paid money for this because I wanted to see this match or whatever, but this guy stole the show. Like, how crazy is it that's a thing that I see happening for you pretty often?
I mean, honestly, my whole career is based around, can I get the crowd to tell me that my match is great? Can I get the crowd to ask me to come back? Like, can I get the guys in the back who've never met me a day in my life, they never know who I am, or they don't even know my real first name or anything like that, and they come up and say, hey man, you had an amazing match, like thanks so much, or whatever. Those are the things I live for. Like, and I'll be super real, and it's probably going to sound super stupidly corny, but the first time I ever had, like, a This Is Awesome chant, like, I was almost in tears during my match when I started hearing it. Because I was just like, these guys gave a shit of enough to, like, sit there and say that, you know, you did, like, you're doing everything right. Like, great job. Like, when I first started hearing that, I was like, you know, sitting there like, oh God, I'm just sweating. Don't worry about it. I'm not crying. I'm sweating. Like, you know, like, I'm in tears just because this is, like, that's what I strive to do. That's what I strive to get. And that's the response that I want. And I get, you know, being the bad guy, being the heel, is like, oh, it's hard to get that type of thing because, you know, you're supposed to irritate the crowd. And for a while, that's like, I also have strived to, like, you know, make sure that I get such a resounding response regardless that I can't hear myself. And a lot of places I do get that when I come out there and all I have to do is grab a microphone and I won't be able to hear myself talk. And I'll look over at Rob and I'll be like, hey, can't hear myself, and he'll shake his head like, yeah.
I've seen some of your promos, and the reaction you get from your mic work is amazing. And that's one thing I've always felt like I lack in is my mic skills. Like, I come from a very, like, I said this on another podcast a few weeks ago, once again for the Elite podcast. I said I'm very punk rock in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I try to go against the grain. I don't like doing what everyone else is doing. So I want to be me. I want to stand out and do something different. So I always kind of shoot a little bit from the heart of how I really feel.
Right.
But at the same time, while keeping the character alive, one of the best promos I've ever seen and heard was your PWE promo, when you could tell there was a little bit of shooting there.
Oh, yeah.
I felt it. The crowd felt it. And the response was amazing.
I appreciate it. To me, that was just kind of like a thing where I was like, you know, and as some of it was a shoot, any of the names that I talked about during that, I went and actually individually sat down with them and asked them, is this cool if I say this?
I do remember you asking me as well.
And I went, you know me,
I'm like, fuck it, say right, I'm a piece of shit. I don't give a shit what you say.
So I went up to all of them. Some of these guys have
been. You're a grade A professional. Like me, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna tell this guy he's a piece of shit on the mic. I don't give a fuck what he thinks. But you literally went to each and every person, and you threw a couple names there.
Yeah.
But you went to each and every person and professionally asked, like, hey, I'm gonna be saying this. Like,
yeah, like is this cool with you guys? And all of them were just like, yeah. Dude,
and what's
like,
crazy though is you had the idea planned out as far as what you were going to say, because that's how you knew to ask everybody. But when you delivered it, it felt so real and from the heart. Like it was right off the cuff, like where it didn't feel so rehearsed.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I only had a list of people that I wanted to mention. I didn't have any content as far as words that I wanted to say or anything like that. When I grabbed the mic, when they told me that I needed to do this this promo, I just kind of grabbed it and I just went. There was no, like, I just had names in my head and I just went through and I talked. And I just talked about how I felt from the bottom of my heart, because, you know, it came from a place of frustration. Because I've, you know, especially with Rob and being, like, the regulators, there was, this big deal to me was bringing tag team division to the forefront for people, because
it's almost like a lost art now.
Yeah, like not a lot of people do that anymore in the independent scene. It's more just like, you know, the Young Bucks really exemplify like what it means to do that type of thing. So they're if I had to name a mascot for tag team division, it'd have to be them in the independent.
I mean, you got the Young Bucks, you got like the Briscoes, but minus them, like you don't have the Motor City Machine Guns anymore. Yeah. You don't have.
It's kind of like it's just a thing where, you know, it's became a thing where people just throw two guys together.
There's guy A, guy B, and now they're a team for whatever fucking reason.
It's out of convenience, and I wanted there to be conviction in a tag team.
Like, there's so many times I've been thrown into a tag team where, hey, I feel like you can help this guy, or I feel like you guys have a similar style, or even as far as I've been thrown in a tag team, like you guys kind of look like you could be brothers.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, me and you we're coming up on a little tag run. I won't get too much into that, because that's kind of breaking down that wall, you know. But we've been the brother thing, you know, a few times here and there. But how fucking crazy is it that, like, over something like, hey, you guys look alike, you should be a tag team. That's like saying, hey, black guy and black guy, I think you guys should be a tag team because you guys are both, you know, black.
Right.
Like, what? How fucking ridiculous is that? Like, I've always been a fan of, you have to have chemistry and there has to be a reason why you're a tag team instead of just you guys look similar.
Yeah. To me, like, especially ever since, like, when I was told that me and Rob were going to become a tag team, the first thing I did was I hit the books on tag team wrestling. Like, the first thing is, like, that I need to intellectually know what it is that I'm doing before I physically get in there.
To people that don't do this, don't understand that, like, they think, okay, well, you know how to work a match, you know how to work anything, but, like, tag team wrestling is a different breed of animal altogether.
Is. Yeah, it's almost like its own style, along with, like, Lucha and Strong. It's almost its own thing.
It really
it's so
is.
Close.
Yeah.
And so I hit the books on it. I was like, what do I need to know? What's, the, like, you know, what are the popular trends? What do I need to strive away from? You know, just I learned, like, I absorbed so much in, like, the month that I had to learn. And so when me and Rob came together, it was just this big, you know, thing where I'm like, I want to change the face of the independent circuit, especially around here. I wanted to just change what it meant. Like, I wanted to bring it, like this is the thing. Like, people are going to talk about coming to see the tag teams.
For sure.
And I know there are other people that feel that way, and so when I started doing that, you know, there were times where, like, it felt like we were being held down, because I think to a lot of certain, like, there are certain places where, just honestly, for a while, I felt like tag teams were an afterthought.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, well, screw that. I mean, like, they're going to be begging for jobs anyway, so whenever we need them, we'll bring them back. And it burned me. It burned me a lot. So when I was going through that frustration, it was just one of those things where I was like, you know what? I'm tired of us being held down. Because that was the first time where I really said, you know what? We're better than this. We're better than your pre-show. We're better than your, you know, the lights are still, you know, all the way on, and there is no focus on us. We're just doing a thing just to entertain people as they come in the door.
Let's throw that out there, too. Like, when they used to do that at PWE, and not to shit on the company in any way, but in my perspective, but it's almost a demeaning feeling when they leave the lights on for you. It's almost like you're not good enough to get the production.
Yeah.
And I've had that, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
And to me, I didn't like that. But there's a few guys that have been on that bright light section of the show for a while.
Yeah, and to me, it's just one of those things where, like, I was a guy who definitely, like, I should have been did their first PWE show when it officially changed. I was one of the first guys there helping them out, trying to get this thing over. So for me, when it happened the way it did, and like I said, I've explained before, we're all workers here. So, you know, when the upper management, like, with the kind of upper management thing gets involved, I'm sure there are things that I don't know. So when I say things, you have to take, sometimes you have to take it with, like, I only know what I know.
For sure.
So, you know, for maybe there's a reason why certain things happen. I'm just not aware of them. So when I say and give my point of view, it's strictly my point of view. And it's not to crap on any type of company. It's not to say, like, well, these guys suck, or, you know, it's just frustrations that happen with an ever living thing. And it's always going to be like that. So for me, when that started happening, when I was there day one, and, you know, they were pushing us towards doing something big, and then all of a sudden we're on the pre-show, and, like, all the tag teams that I knew that were just, like, they were, you know, good. They were good. They deserve to be there. They're all gone, and it's just us, but we're still on the pre-show. We're not even on the main card. And now we're grabbing these guys from, like, out of nowhere. Like, they haven't been here, not even a show yet, and they're getting all these crazy, like, you know, spots on the card. And I'm just like, what happened to, like, as long as you're good,
work hard and you earn something.
Yeah, like, what happened to that? Because to me, I just felt like I was gypped. And for me, that was just a super big, like, it almost felt like a slap in the face at first. And that was a part of that frustration, was just, you guys want to sit here and you want to put me on here where all these guys that need to prove themselves are. Don't you think I've done that already?
Absolutely.
And that's where that came from. And, you know, maybe I did, like, I did maybe irritate a few people. Maybe I did cause a little bit of a problem. But if anything,
you brought light to the situation.
Yeah.
Because how many people after that promo came up to you and was like, I understand. Like I said, there was enough shooting there where even guys like me, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, it's about time someone, like, said it, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, it was a thing where I just wanted to get things off my chest, and I didn't want it to come off in a way where I was being arrogant. Or I didn't want them to think that I'm just trying to smear their company just through a promo and being shitty.
I don't think you smeared the company in any way. I don't think you you went into business for yourself. I think if anything, you kept the promo alive by, you stayed in character, you really brought an issue to the forefront that maybe might have been overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And it that kind of was a game changer, because if you noticed, since then, they kind of, like, started slowly pushing a tag division again here and there.
Yeah.
But it's, like, for example, who's their tag champions now? They're really big on them. The
South Philly's Finest. Yes.
They seem like good guys.
Yeah.
I don't really know them all that well. I've spoke with them maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. Really nice guys, but what little bit I saw of them in the ring, they went against, who was it, Snitsky and Billy Gunn.
Yes.
Great match. Mm. There was little things in there that I could see that, you know, maybe got a little twisted. But all in all, they did well.
Yes.
However, it wasn't until that moment that you made that promo that they're like, you know what, we need to start bringing more tag teams in.
You're right.
And start, like, focusing on that. And I feel like, when bringing in a name to a company is a big deal. When you bring in two names for a tag team, I feel like it's because you put that on that forefront. They're like, oh, shit, we need to focus on these tag teams. So they paid two, you know, ex-WWE guys or whatever the name thing you want to go with. But they paid these guys a higher amount to come in to work a tag team. That's a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
They take two random single competitors, put them as a tag team, to go against, you know, one of their own tag teams. That was a big deal, and I feel like that was something you flagshipped.
Yeah, I mean, Again, I never really think of myself as anybody who does anything like that. But if that is in fact what caused that, then I'm glad that it happened.
I mean, look at the chain of command. It started there and it trickled down. It's downhill from there. That's definitely something that you created, because until then it was, I mean, and not no disrespect, you had guys like Swift Kick and who's a Slider. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These guys were pretty much the undercard guys that they were just throwing together for no reason.
Yeah.
You brought it to attention, like, hey, like, you know, you have guys like me busting my ass, like, focus on the tag division, and boom, like, what, two shows later, South Philly's Finest won the tag titles. Right. Or actually, no, it might have been the next show after that.
Yeah.
They won the tag titles, and then it was, what the fuck is my dog doing? And then it was, you know, them putting them against names. It was because before that, let's be honest, the tag team was an afterthought. It was, you had the Star-Lords, and you had Zach and Ryan Colby, which I loved them to death, Broforce and all that stuff, but it was getting bland. There was nothing. It was just, hey, here's a match of three different tag teams for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You were in one of those matches, the fucking ladder match.
Yeah, yes.
Let's go into that a little bit. Let's talk about that match.
Well, let me see. It's not to anybody's discredit as to how I feel about that match, but that match was a total abortion. And the reason why I feel that way...
Where did it start going south?
The entrance. Like, I'll be real with you about it. The second we were in the ring, I knew something was wrong. Because we're making our entrances right, and me and Rob were the first guys out there. Zach and Ryan are coming down. And so, I knew, like, we were supposed to all grab ladders or make sure that we have all the ladders in the corners so that we had, you know, something to use, or so we know where everything is. And the big deal was, is Zach and Ryan are going down the ramp, and Zach and Ryan are looking for ladders, and they're not finding ladders that are good. Like, all these ladders are rickety, and they were busted, and, like, horrendous looking and old. And we're just, like, I noticed they were freaking out. They were, like, yelling at the, they're just yelling at the, like, other guy, like, just stagehands, are just like, find the ladders, like, find the, like, effing ladders, what's wrong with you? And, like, just, they're freaking out, and then we get into the ring, and we find out, like, all of our ladders are messed up.
Every one of them.
Every one of them was bad. Like,
how many ladders they have?
I think we found four ladders, and all of them are broken. And it's,
I remember watching you guys in the match, and each time you guys had a new ladder that you would pull out, there was just a look of frustration and anger.
Yeah, because every single time, and something would go wrong, like whether it was just an issue where, like we would try climbing and then the ladder snaps a little further or something. And it's like we can't work with anything that we've got, and it just got to the point where it was like we're gonna have to do what we do, and that's just, you know, we'll just make it work. And we were all super frustrated because this was supposed to be a showcase of, like, tag teams. And it's just due to the oversight of, like, the company, we didn't have what we needed.
Being a little cheap on the gimmicks.
Well, here we find out that the people who set up the cage prior actually took all of our good ladders and left with them. And that's why we didn't have any good ladders. Because all the ladders we were using were prior in Kevin Murphy's, like, Hell in a Cell match where, like, people were jumping up, breaking them, and stuff like that. So we had the leftovers, basically.
So, let's look at this. These guys had a cage match.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they got to manage to use the good ladders. Where you had a ladder match, and they were already destroyed from the previous match.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible booking.
Yes. I would say so for that. And, you know, like
I said. And, I mean, once again, not shooting on the company. I love the company. I love working there. I think they do a great thing.
Absolutely.
But, like, just in hindsight, maybe could have been done a little bit better.
Yeah, and that happens with every company. There's always a thing where we're like, come on, guys, like, you need to get it together. And that's just how it is, because it's a company that's always ever-changing, ever-working, and never trying to improve.
For sure.
And it was just one of those things where we were just so mad because we had our opportunity to say, like, we are the tag team division. And that's what happens. Like, we get that. So, you know, I go and I talk to, you know, Kevin Murphy about it, and he was saying, like, look, you're handling this very professionally. And he's like, honestly, if I were you, I would have been like, way more mad about it, and there's just so much more frustrated. I'd be yelling, and I'm like, well, like, I understand that, but like I said, you know, at the end of the day, I always try to remember this is a business. Like, we're here to do our job. We're here, we're clocking in, and this is it. So for me, it's like I'm handling myself as a professional, but at the same time, I don't agree with what happened.
For sure.
So we end up having, later on, we wrestled the Star-Lords in a ladder or a tables match.
And, I remember that.
The match was another one where people were just losing it because we did a bunch of dumb stuff. I almost friggin' died in that match. Like, people called me stupid because I dove over the top rope and no one caught me, so I took a complete header on the floor.
I was not there for that show. I was booked somewhere else, but I do remember watching the video, or maybe it was a clip of you looking like you fucking died.
Yeah, it was really
bad. I seen everyone do the, oh my god, I got hit, so I'm going to fall over thing, but you were like, you pretty much ate it.
Yeah, like, I completely, like, I dove head first onto the floor, and, like, there are people that were saying it sounded like a bowling ball, like, they just dropped it and it just hit the floor, and that's what it sounded like, and I was like, that was my skull, like, that was my head hitting the floor.
Jesus Christ.
And so, you know, we worked that match. Like, despite that, I get back in the ring and I, you know, get dumped on my head a few more times and go through a couple of tables. But even with that, you know, we worked through the match. So we, like, me and Rob did our best to say, like, this is a tag team division. Like, this is what we're doing. And then it seemed like that's when they just kind of took us completely out of it, and they just started doing their own thing with South Philly's Finest, which, you know, respect. Like, they do their thing, and it just seems like now it's starting to diminish again. Like, they're running out of stuff to do. And I'm hoping, you know, somewhere along the lines they go, well, maybe we should bring the Regulators back and a few other tag teams that I know that, you know, are part of this, like, big, like, almost like an uprising to, you know, for the tag teams. Like, it's something that needs to become more prominent in wrestling.
If you were a booker, what's three teams that you would book to make the tag division thrive a little better for that company?
Well, I mean, first off, just because I'm super biased, the Regulators.
Absolutely. So, which, as honestly, as a friend and a fan, like, you guys bring something different to the table. You guys are the gimmick. You guys are talented. And I just think that you guys, like we said earlier with you alone, you can work with anybody and have a good match.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But, I mean, like I said, I'm being super biased when I say that, but I definitely think we should be in that talk. And you said, how many tag teams did you say that we, you know...
I just said a number. We'll just, fuck it. Three teams.
So three. So I say that. I would definitely say the Millennials. I don't know if you know who they are, but it's
yes,
Killian McMurphy and
Killian is hands down one of the best wrestlers I've ever met.
Absolutely, he is.
Who is his tag partner for that?
Honestly, his name is like Robbie something. I'm not entirely sure.
I know. By the time I'm done, you know, talking about this, I'm like, fuck, it's this person.
Yeah.
But I cannot remember for the life of me. Yeah. But I remember, here's the thing. I've known Killian for the longest time as the Shamrock Shooter. Mm-hmm. And I heard about the Millennials. They were going to Phoenix.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I remember seeing the photos, and they looked good and everything. And I cannot remember the other guy for the life of me, but I know that they did a really good job. And yeah, it was just such a change of pace seeing Killian, especially, go from the Shamrock Shooter. Have you ever met Killian outside of the Millennials?
Yeah.
Dude, he does this thing where he yells shooter in the weirdest, scariest, loud voice ever.
Oh, yeah. And it gets over.
Literally to this day, no matter where I go, if I say something, someone says something like, oh, that's a shoot, I try to do my best. I don't want to even embarrass myself by trying, but I mock.
You do the whole, like,
shooter! Yeah, yeah, dude. And it's so catchy, but I'm sorry. Let's digress.
Yeah. So, like, I would definitely say the Millennials would be somebody that'd be cool. Then, to pick a team that's, they're new to me. I don't know how long they've been around, but the Atkins brothers are, like, they're Shoot brothers.
So
they're,
never even heard of them.
Well, they're from around, like, the, they're more towards, like, the Philly-ish area.
Okay.
But they work, like, around, like, the York County area. So, they're, like, I just heard of them. Like, I saw them maybe, like, 2 weeks before I actually worked a match with them. But they're Shoot brothers, and they're I think they were both collegiate wrestlers at some point, if I can remember when I was talking to them. And they have a good look. They have the right gimmick, and they're, like, they have a good work rate about them. And when I worked with them, in our match that we had, and it was a 6-man tag match, and we worked this match, and I mean they did a phenomenal job, and I was just super all about working with them.
With the name alone, I can kind of grasp already what the gimmick's about. Mm-hmm. Younger guys?
Yes. They might be maybe my age or maybe a tad older, but they're around my age.
That's awesome. I love hearing about new people, especially if you're giving them a rub. I want to check them out. Anyone listening, make sure you guys check them out. I want to say that we are coming up on 50 minutes on the second podcast. So we are almost at the second hour mark. So with 10 minutes left to go, let's start winding down with some shout outs.
Yeah.
People that have inspired you, people that are inspirational to you, just anyone that you want to give a shout out to that needs to know that, you know, they have some sort of love coming from you.
I mean, first and foremost, like, just every single member of Broforce.
You know, tip of my hat for all of us, fellas. Don't worry.
Yeah, so, I mean, all you guys have, in your own way, shaped my career and helped me learn. So, like, shout out to all you guys, and I'll even rattle them off. Shane Malice, Louis G. Rich, Ed House, Zach Rain, Ryan Colby. I always remember. I always forget his
Corey?
Yeah, I always forget his wrestling name. But Corey Cross, he's absolutely another guy that's helped me. And I'm so sorry. Please
shake
don't yell
his
at me
fucking
for that.
Hand.
Yeah, like shake his. I'm so sorry for not shaking your hand. I apologize. Yeah, like all you guys are all phenomenal people, and you guys have all helped me out too with that. Like I've mentioned him before, Adrian Bliss. Like he's one of my wrestling dads. For that, Shatter's another guy who, you know, without him, there was a lot of things that I wouldn't have learned. Sean Carr for being like one of those like first like up and coming guys that helped.
Thanks
me
for
out.
Not being a dick while I was a green beat me up.
Right, like please, like thank you for not like completely squashing me during our match. Yeah, like a lot. I'd also have to say a lot of the guys that I trained with that are still around in the business. Suicide Myers is a guy that's like, you know, he's consistent. He's always about, like, he's the same way that I am about, like, making sure that we drive ourselves to go as far as we can. I hear you might actually get, like, a WWE thing soon, which is super huge. Like, I mean, sure. It's, like, a minor thing. Like, he's doing, like, a minor role, but the fact that he can
regardless
get
of that role, whether it be major or minor, is huge, yeah. Knowing that you made it. Like,
yeah,
that in the
and that's super huge. So, if that does get to unfold the way it does, like, dude, congrats, man. That's awesome. Cyrus Parker, I mean, like, he's one of the first guys that I really became, like, super close friends with in the business, and he helped me reach you, so, like, without that connection, I'm not sure if I would have been able to even get into Broforce in the first place. So,
amen.
You know, so, that's all I can think of off the top of my head, but, like, all you guys, you're wonderful, I love you all, like, you're all my family, you know, so, like, shout-outs to all you guys.
What about your family in general? Any shout-outs for the support? Any shout-outs for...
Absolutely, I mean, you know... like my immediate family, my mom and my dad, and like this guy who's almost asleep. Like,
you're keeping him up till fucking 2 o'clock in the morning just so we can talk about how great you are in the business.
Yeah, great. See, that's I try to avoid this. But,
Jared, you're the real MVP.
Yeah, like, well, my family's the real MVP for showing up to my shows. Like, they showed up to my first LCW match and all that. So, I mean, like, with that support, it kind of helped me. Like, it boosted my confidence to go and what I did. So
for sure.
So, like, thank everybody for that.
What do you think? Like, if you could rattle off a couple names of some young, up-and-coming talent that might be the future of wrestling business.
So newer talent.
And by newer, I mean, it literally could be someone that's been, you know, around, but someone who you think could progress the business to another level.
I definitely see a lot of potential in Max Abrams.
Okay.
Like, every time I see that guy, like, when I first met him, he was a string bean. And then he came back and he's
a little nerdy kid, and he's just a mammoth of a physique.
Yeah, he just has like this total, like, you know, I want to be Hogan type of like physique, and it's just impressive.
I want him to go straight Bane from Batman.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's close enough, just
right.
Shave the head, put the fucking mask on, break some backs, like, right. You're Bane.
Yeah, and he's a phenomenal young man, and he wants to do nothing more than to learn and get better. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's definitely a guy that I would look out for as far as, like, a guy that'd be, you know... an up-and-coming young talent that could shape the business.
You know what's crazy is, me personally, I feel like that's a huge shout-out because Max is one of those guys, and I mean this with the utmost respect. If he's listening, if anyone hears this and they want to let him know, he's kind of forgettable only because he's quiet. He's solid. I've seen him work in the ring quite a few times, and he's not bad at all. But as soon as he's done wrestling, he's the fucking mouse that you forget is there.
Yeah,
like he's just so quiet. Like yeah. you,
he's a very reserved guy.
We're already on to the next match. He's not thanking anyone. He's not putting himself over. Like everyone always wants to come back in the locker room and pretend they got the biggest dick of why they're amazing what they did. But he just kind of comes back, does his thing, and he's just quiet. Like. That's a huge shout out, at least from my perspective, because I've known the kid for a while now, and he's I don't think I've ever even heard his name mentioned. And I once again, no disrespect, he's one of those guys that almost forgettable because he's so silent. Right. So that's huge that you even you drop his name like that.
Yeah, he's a great kid, and I wish the best for him when he gets that up and coming stuff. Like I hope he gets a big break soon. It'd be amazing to see. Another guy, and honestly, I have absolutely no idea how long he's been working. But from what my exposures to him, he's so good, and he's such a humble guy, and he's such a nice guy. And I don't just mean that as that's this quality that makes him great. He's great because he's good in the ring, too. But JT Funk, and I think he's out of Delaware, but I only ever watched a match live from him once. And I've seen clips and stuff like
that. Oh, he's fantastic.
And he's a fantastic worker. I mean, boy, can he work his butt off, and he's just great.
I have seen videos. I've never got to meet him in person, but the guy is amazing and is super entertaining.
Oh, yeah. He's a stand-up individual in the locker room. I talked to him, and he's...
First time I saw him, I thought he was a Chikara guy, to be honest with you.
That's almost what I thought, too, and he kind of has that personality. But he's just a guy that he's just super, he's a stand-up individual. He wants nothing more than to elevate the locker room, and he's also phenomenal in the ring. So, shout-outs to him. I really hope he gets far, too. He's another guy that I could see, really doing big things in the independent scene.
For sure.
As far as, anybody else is concerned, it sounds kind of bad, but I'm having trouble coming up with names. I know there's a guy who, he's just doing his up into here. I think he is getting his big break now. He goes by The Whisper in Chikara. And, I mean, the dude's super talented. And he looks like $1 million, and he's still really young. He's not much older than me, and he's getting his break in Chikara. So, he's another guy I could see shaping, that Lucha Libre Americana thing.
And I think Chikara just does such a good job of honing that in.
Yeah.
That hybrid style.
Yeah.
So speaking of Chikara, and I mean, I don't want to change topic too much. We only got a few minutes left. Some companies to keep your eye on. As far as, maybe companies you work for, companies you want to work for?
I would definitely say Outbreak Wrestling. I've heard a lot of things about them, and I see a lot of guys that are good guys that work there, and they seem to be catching a lot of popularity. So I'd be on the lookout for them. Atomic Championship Wrestling, those guys, it seems like they just keep growing, and they just keep expanding. And, they expanded their women's division, which is a huge thing to do. And, I mean, they continue, so they get, it's not two women that just wrestle one match on a card. I mean, they're getting, 6 to 10 female workers in there doing their thing, and they're killing it. So, shout-outs to them, and I think they're going to be another company that could be a big thing real soon. That's another one that I think that everybody should look out for. And I would just say, there's no absolutely zero foreshadowing to this, but if LCW ever does get revived by Jason Smith, that would definitely be like a dark horse to come back and become a huge force in there. So, any of those things, always watch out for them. That's a huge, huge thing to see. So,
what about PWE? Are we going to see you on PWE anytime soon?
I'm hoping. So we'll see what happens. I mean, fingers crossed, knock on wood, all that. Throw some salt over your shoulder.
Whatever superstition you believe in, whatever
you need to do. Hopefully, we can come back and do some more work with them. They're also another fantastic platform that I'm sure they're going to be growing. So I'm hoping that'll really just kind of. So I'm really hoping we can they'll continue to elevate. They're something that they're always going to be somebody to watch out for. So.
What about Elite? I've been putting you over huge to him, George Davis, Jake Davis. I would love to see you in Elite. I feel like your style would be a breath of fresh air for what they put on as a show, and I think at the same time it would be a very huge learning experience for you.
Absolutely. I mean,
we're winding down this last minute.
Yeah, So yeah, so guys, if you guys are listening, I'm gonna be in talks with you guys very soon. I want to be down there. There also seemed like I've heard nothing but good things, so I'll be hitting up those guys really soon and seeing what we can work out.
Any quick shout outs on dates? Where can we see you coming up?
I will be working December 15th. I'll be working Phoenix Pro, and we're not sure what's happening yet, but I heard it's going to be a really big deal, so keep your eyes peeled for that. As far as the other ones, I am where I show up, so always keep your eyes peeled on my social media.
For sure. Brother, always a good time having you here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man.
I have a few beers in me. I had a good night. Got to finally sit around and watch you do some wrestling.
Yeah.
Fantastic time. We are 10 seconds away. Last 10 seconds are always go.
10 seconds. Hey, man, love wrestling. Wrestling's life. Push the